Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. Beets are a nutritional gold mine, full of antioxidants and nutrients, but they're a mess to prepare. So just mix Super Beets with 4 ounces of water and boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure. Get the Dr. Hoffman special offer at intelligentbeets.com. That's intelligentbeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it's time for a holiday edition of Q&A with Layla. So first of all, I want to wish you all a happy holiday, because we're on the cusp of Christmas. Well, at least that's when we recorded it. For many of you, you will be listening during the Christmas holiday. And a very happy Hanukkah to many of our listeners as well. Layla, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Great, great. So we're in the holiday spirit.
Yes.
And hopefully people have a little more time to relax and binge listen to our podcast, because we've got a lot of great podcasts. This week, I believe it's this week, we're going to post a podcast on the science of breathing with Betsy Thomason. That was excellent. Also, we recently recorded a podcast with Dr. Courtney Craig on chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Wow. And she really has nailed it. She herself has suffered from chronic fatigue syndrome since the age of 16,
Wow. But
has overcome it. I met her at a gathering of holistic doctors, and I asked her, if you've had it, to what extent are you recovered? She said, like about 99%.
So she's, physician, heal thyself.
Yeah, and through in an effort to heal herself, she discovered a lot of things about how to help patients. Now she's working with patients, and we describe it in one of our great podcasts this week. Also, a recent podcast on autoimmunity with Dr. David Brady. So first of all, the movie about assassinating the Korean dictator.
Yes.
That's not going to be there. So and it's dangerous to go to the multiplex because they're threatening terrorism.
Yes.
So stay home, be safe, and listen to an intelligent medicine podcast or two this holiday season, in lieu of risking life and limb by going to the multiplex, because there may be I think people are daunted by that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. So what do we have on our agenda in terms of questions?
Okay, we have an email from Elizabeth. Hi, Dr. Hoffman, been listening to you for over 10 years. I'm grateful for all that you have given us listeners. My incredible 48-year-old brother, no medication, has a weird issue going on with his left leg. It stops working at times. Literally, at times, he's got to pick up his leg with his hands to get out of the car. With that, he's gotten toe cramping, twitches in his eye, a pain through the jaw and elbow. Long story short, MRI comes back clean. He's been to 5 doctors. Nobody's finding anything. His chiropractor says his nervous system is out of whack.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah.
we're stating the obvious there.
His vitamin D is quite low. His Lyme, his mercury tested negative. One doctor found parvovirus.
Wow.
But beyond that, what do you think is going on?
Oh, this sounds like a real clinical dilemma. And, I think it's a little unfair to ask us to discern what 5 doctors have previously not been able to discover. We might undertake a little bit of a different kind of workup. We do sometimes see these very enigmatic patients that nobody's figured out. And we might run additional tests to look for, obscure things like mercury toxicity or some sort of mitochondrial disorder. But it sounds very bizarre. And he's had MRIs and he's had nerve conduction tests and all manner of tests, I'm sure, from neurologists. And they've not uncovered anything. And so I I'm not going to say, try some CoQ10. That might, turn the whole case around. No, I'm not sure. I just, no idea. Famous statement by the ancient Jewish physician and philosopher, Maimonides.
Uh-huh.
He was a philosopher, but he also, turns out, he was a doctor. He was actually a doctor to the court of, when the Arabs and Jews used to get along.
Mm-hmm.
in the Middle Ages. I believe it was the year, 800, 900, something like that. Mm-hmm. He taught medical students in Cordoba, Spain. And one of his famous aphorisms is what he used to say to his students, "Teach thy lips to say, I do not know. Because all too often, doctors know. And when they know, they, you know, in their arrogance, they try this or that or the other therapy. And it's important to be humble to the possibility that certain things are elusive.
So that's who the Brooklyn Hospital is named after.
Maimonides. Well, you know, that Jewish philanthropy, Maimonides is an important guy. But he also happened to be a physician, a physician philosopher, and very influential in the shaping of, you know, modern Jewish thought, you know, when it was first laid down in the Middle Ages.
So, Elizabeth, we don't know. Thank you for your email. Okay. This next one comes to us from Ben. Oh, this is the old argument, and you've written about this a lot, Dr. Hoffman. From two different doctors on the radio, I heard the following claim. All the hype about vitamins and supplements is false. Nobody needs to take any supplements except for one exception, folate for pregnant women. I'm a professional. I require hard evidence, says this doctor. Where are the double-blind studies that show people taking supplements live longer?
Well, you know, I have to say that if he doesn't know, and he's a physician, then he doesn't know how to use research tools on the Internet. Because, I mean, far be it, I mean, I don't have to prove it, because the evidence is there. And if, for anyone who's resourceful enough to utilize the research tools that are available, not to, even to the lay public, these days you can Google the information. But you can also get Medline information. You can look at the scientific studies, pro and con, because there's certain controversy about this. There's certainly some studies that show that multivitamins, for example, don't prolong life. And then there are other studies that show that multivitamins do prolong life. And then there are many studies that don't speak to the issue of life prolongation, but quality of life, avoidance of certain diseases. For example, there's a lot of literature that shows that vitamin D reduces mortality dramatically. Vitamin D, just plain vitamin D. So,
I
guess...
The research is there.
The research is there. And, you know, it's an emerging science. Let's put it this way. I think there's a lot of controversies in nutrition that still need to be resolved. There are no firm answers about certain questions. But as to... And why, you know, why should we even ask that question? Why should we ask, is supplementation valuable? That would be like asking the question, is medication valuable?
Right.
You know, we could say, well, medication's not valuable. Well, no, that would, we would have to say, well, which medication of the thousands of medications out there, which ones are the most valuable, which ones have no value, which ones have some value but are toxic? We have to look at it on an individual basis.
Is food valuable? I mean, that's
right,
where our nutrients are coming from. So again, you'd have to take a look and see what you're eating and what you're not eating. And a lot of those vitamins are obtained from food.
Indeed.
Yeah. So good luck, Ben.
What, is this a physician?
No, he's not a physician. He's heard two different physicians on the radio, and his own physician as well has said, where's the research?
Well, that's a lazy place to come. It's like, where's the research? Like, well, look for the research. Just get off your duff and look for the research. What, does he expect that the research is going to come marching in the door and, you know, and plunk itself down in front of him? If he's not interested in the research, then the research won't magically appear before him. He has to study this and get involved in it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I think I need some eggnog now. I mean, I'm upset.
Some eggnog, please.
I'm upset. It's like, Dr. Hoffman, please tell me that nutrition, it's like my entire 30-year career, over 25 years of which have been in broadcasting, is negated by that question. You know, it's like, where's the evidence?
Where's the evidence?
Have you been listening to me? Do you, you know, go to drhoffman.com.
Do you read the newsletters? Do you read the articles?
Yes. Yeah.
All of that.
And then if you think it's, at the end of it, you think it's all just hype and propaganda and made up stuff, then okay, fine. I mean, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And the
I don't blame you for being upset. I'm upset too.
All right.
All right. On a happier note.
Thank you.
This comes from Karen in the UK.
Yeah.
Hello, right. Layla and Dr. Hoffman. Love the show. I listen to it all the time. You've answered a few questions of mine in the past. Thank you for that. I'm now 5 months pregnant at age 46. Oops.
Oops.
And actually, I'm loving it.
Oh, good. Okay.
What are the best food supplements to take? I have Hashimoto's, but I have it under control with Natrathroid. I'm eating good portions of protein, even though I'm a little turned off to it lately, but I'm making my effort. I do have iron levels that are low, but not anemic. I've been taking iron supplements 3 times a day. Is this safe? Karen, where's your obstetrician?
Yeah.
On checking in with all of this kind of
stuff. It's the National Health Service. I'm sorry. It's, you know, the
National Health Service. Okay.
And you, I don't know that, I mean, look, there are private holistic or complementary physicians in England, but, you know, the care you get is good from the standpoint that almost nobody goes without any care. But on the other hand, I'm not sure that you get anything but the most perfunctory care.
There's got to be at least at minimum a prenatal vitamin that she's been
right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this because I think it's important. And by the way, we just had a woman who, she wasn't 46, but she was 41 when she got pregnant. She brought in a picture of her baby who looks, I mean, the kid looks like he's 1 year old. He's like 6.5 months.
Yeah,
he's so advanced, and she says that's what they say. He seems so precocious. You know, he's more. You know, there's light in his eyes. He makes eye contact. He's very, you know, aware of his surroundings. He plays. He's strong. He's big.
Yeah.
He's handsome, and that's one of our Hoffman Center babies. You know, because we did the prenatal care for her. And, you know, at 41, sometimes it's a little harder to have a successful outcome. But what were the main ingredients? We gave her not folic acid, but folate. There's actually some controversy about folic acid because it is thought that folic acid, while it does help to somewhat prevent neural tube defects, it's not the ideal form of folate, which is MTHF, methyl tetrahydrofolate, or methyl folate. For short, which is the active form of folate, you can actually get an overabundance of unutilized folic acid if you have a certain gene, the MTHFR gene mutation. And so that is something that in our prenatal care, we're beginning to use the methylated folate, not the regular folic acid. I mean, folic acid is it's better than nothing, but it's not ideal. So that's number one. Number two, I don't give a lot of stuff during pregnancy. I cut back on a lot of things because why go with esoteric things that you're not sure of?
Exactly.
Unnecessarily, these women are generally relatively healthy. Mm-hmm. They're not aged, broken down individuals, mostly with diseases, with some exceptions. So we're conservative. For example, green tea, excellent thing to take for the vast majority of people. We have some concerns about giving high doses of EGCG during pregnancy because it may cause problems. We're not sure, but let's stay away from it. Drinking a little green tea is fine. Guzzling gallons of green tea, maybe not so good.
Fish oil.
Fish oil is certainly beneficial because it makes the kid smarter. B, it delays parturition. In other words, it combats prematurity.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful. Magnesium is helpful because it also helps to relax the smooth muscle for easier birth. And also, it seems to be something that is associated with preeclampsia. So we want absolutely magnesium during pregnancy.
Yeah. And vitamin C also for prevention of preeclampsia.
And vitamin C,
interestingly.
Right. And of course, vitamin D is super important because it has a major impact on the baby. So that's important.
I think even
some iodine, but not too much, because you want to make sure that there isn't the possibility of iodine deficiency, which can cause cretinism, very serious mental retardation because of hypothyroidism in a child whose mother is iodine deficient. That's important.
Wow.
Phosphatidylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
And of the fish oil components, it's mostly DHA, which is important. So we want a fish oil that's rich in DHA.
DHA.
And, so those are some of the important things to take. And, I think probiotic, perhaps a good probiotic to put good bacteria in the intestinal tract of the mom because the mom will transfer her flora to the baby. I think that's important.
Karen's been looking at the Weston A. Price website, Diet for Pregnancy, and they recommend fermented cod liver oil. What do you think of that?
I'm not familiar with it, but, I think that's sort of one of the latest things. I'm not sure why it's... Yeah, it's a source of
A,
right?
I suppose. Okay.
How do you ferment cod liver oil? I'm not sure. That's kind of weird.
And what might the fermentation do, I wonder?
We should look into it.
As well.
We should. We'll report on it at a future podcast.
Wishing you a very healthy pregnancy, Karen, from the UK. Okay.
Nice to know we have listeners all over the world.
Yes. Yes.
I love it when I get, somebody who signs up with a Facebook like in like Chinese or Korean letters or sometimes Arabic letters, you know.
Wow.
It's people from all over the world.
It's wonderful. Okay, this comes from David. We have an email. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, thank you both for all the indispensable information, dedicated service you provide. I've been following Dr. Hoffman for at least the past 20 years. Kudos on extending your knowledge and experience.
Unfortunately, that is possible.
Yeah. My question, I was having a discussion with a colleague recently regarding her recent mammogram. She's 40, in good health, has a history of breast cancer in her family, and she is elected to receive the new 3D exam, but apparently needs to have another exam due to dense tissue.
Right.
David's questions are, is breast cancer carried through genetics, or is it more a result of our environment?
To answer the questions one by one.
Yeah.
There's about a 10 or 20% contribution from genetics, but I think environment plays a huge role. And I think even if you have the genetics of breast cancer, you can prevent it with the right kind of lifestyle, diet, supplements, and exercise, and avoidance of toxins.
Yes, because our lifestyle has the ability to turn those genes on or off.
Yes. It's called epigenetics. So the new thing is not, genes are not destiny. Genes may predispose you to something, but through epigenetic modification, you either turn on the bad genes or turn them off.
Right.
Or you can enhance the good genes.
Yeah. Second question, are these 3D exams accurate?
Well, the answer is 3D exams, I just actually spoke to a radiologist about this. First of all, they've become pretty much the gold standard of mammograms now, is they're doing more of them. And I said, well, my concern is 3D, does that involve more radiation? And he said actually less.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good thing. Yeah,
so that they're trying to get the radiation down. It's easier to see things. It's digital so that they can analyze the image better.
It's not as expensive as an MRI, which is his next question. Wouldn't MRI be the best thing?
Well, MRIs are the way they use... the first deal is they do a mammogram. Now, mammograms very often show a cloudy haze, and you can't see what's going on because of dense breasts or some confusing images. So in order to better discern what's going on, they use an ultrasound, which is not the first thing you should use, but an ultrasound in conjunction with the mammogram gives you more information.
Yeah.
An MRI is generally used in a woman who has very high risk or has had breast cancer and is under surveillance to see if cancer will arise in the other parts of the breast or the other side.
Yeah.
And MRIs should not be used as the initial screening test unless the high risk has been established. So, here's a problem too, is something that's more accurate is going to see more false positives. It's so precise that they're going to say, well, there's this little, it looks fine, but there's this little density here, little tiny, and it could be something, but then that might lead to unnecessary biopsies.
Right.
So, they talk about detection. We might have over-diagnosis as a result of better detection methods. What we want is a test that's not just sensitive, but specific.
Mm-hmm.
Specific means that it yields no false positives. But there's no such test. The more sensitive a test is, the less specific it is, and it will yield some false positives sometimes.
And then finally, David asks, is there a diet or supplements that could reduce the risk of breast cancer?
Well, there you go.
Well, definitely a low-sugar, low-toxin diet, certainly. And supplements are very, very important.
In other words, organic food.
Don't
microwave stuff in plastic.
Exactly.
You know.
Never use plastics. Get away from the plastic water bottles. Don't leave them in direct sunlight or in your car or do anything like that. Beware of toxins even in your personal grooming products, your skincare products, your shampoos, your makeup. We eat lead when we're wearing all that lipstick all the time.
Plus other, funky chemicals.
Exactly,
So what about the role of soy in diet?
Well, soy, that's a big question mark. Soy has a lot of phytoestrogens, which on the thinking on one side of the argument is that these phytoestrogens, because they're weaker, take the place in our estrogen receptors, whereby the receptors are then filled by this weaker estrogen rather than possibly
it's like
too
putting super glue in the lock so that the key won't fit in the lock.
The key won't fit in the lock.
Right.
So it may be beneficial that way.
I think some of the studies are showing that having soy early in life,
like in Asia,
but not necessarily refined soy, just sort of dietary soy, seems to be preventive. But then when like Western women say, oh, you know, I'm going to like have tons and tons of soy because it's beneficial for my hot flashes, maybe, just maybe, that may not be so good to all of a sudden hit your body with a lot of plant estrogens.
And, you know, I just am still amazed that a glass of soy milk can rid a woman of hot flashes. I've heard this a lot.
Yeah.
I call that HRT.
Yeah, that's a form of hormone replacement.
That's a form of HRT, and I have to really wonder, that's a lot of phytoestrogen.
Yeah. So, okay, so then from the standpoint of does meat cause breast cancer? The answer is probably not, unless it's meat that's laden with preservatives and antibiotics.
Exactly.
Antibiotics themselves may have estrogenic effects and hormones. Growth hormones are used.
They're giving other medicines to the animals to make them, to have them create more lean meat. All of these things are very scary, what's going on.
What about dairy, the effect of dairy?
Dairy is very insulinogenic. There's a lot of growth factors in dairy.
There's a new thing about galactose now in dairy, which is maybe not so much breast cancer, but ovarian cancer and pro-inflammatory. And a recent study showed that women who drink 3 glasses of milk or more die younger and of all cause, but in addition, they don't have stronger bones. This is done in Sweden.
Don't.
They have a somewhat reduced bone density, and in addition, a higher risk of certain cancers, cardiovascular disease, and regardless of whether they had skim milk or it wasn't the fat, it was the galactose, possibly,
which is going to contribute to IGF. Galactose is a simple sugar. It's a monosaccharide.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how lactose is formed, galactose.
So, they're getting a lot of sugar by drinking milk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, let's look at some supplements that are preventive.
We like Prevail.
That's a flaxseed, or you can use dietary flaxseed.
Exactly, flax lignans. We certainly like EPA, DHA,
fish oil,
the omega-3.
Vitamin D, big time.
Yes, vitamin D.
Iodine.
Mm-hmm.
EGCG has some, actually I developed a product that's been discontinued, but it was called breast support.
Yes.
But I think some women thought it was like an undergarment or something. so they did. We looked at the bottle, I said, what the heck is this? Is this going to make my breasts stand up or
Does
something?
Does it fit in there?
Right. So they said, how did that little, it's like a tiny bra in the bottle. No. So I don't know. So they discontinued that product. They said it wasn't such a big, I think also women are a little scared when they see like a product that's supposed to do something to their breasts.
Maybe.
So it was not a big seller, but it had iodine, it had EGCG, it had lycopene based on some studies that showed lycopene is preventive.
I think it had some DIM.
And it had DIM. Yes. Yeah. DIM is very beneficial from cabbage family, diindole methane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and calcium D-glucarate helps to sop up excess estrogen.
Yeah.
That can be good. Absolutely vitamin D. There's some good studies on vitamin D. So there you have some of the things that are helpful. All right.
Best of luck, David.
All right. So this is a good inflection point, at which point we're going to divide our podcast into two parts, as we customarily do. So please rejoin us for part two and give us a preview, Layla, what's in part two.
I have recurring staph infections in my toes.
Okay, we're going to take up that uncomfortable subject in part two, along with other questions. A reminder, you can send us questions to radio program at AOL.com. That's the place you send your questions via email, and we'll answer as many of them as we can via these podcasts. Once again, a Merry Christmas. Please continue with part two of today's Q&A with Layla.